Friday, 11 March 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. It's a blessing to be able to come to you by means of Christian radio. Father, do bless us with thy word. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all of our listeners. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church at Philadelphia and how you blessed it. Thank you for the Philadelphian church age. I realize, Lord, I truly believe we're living in Laodicean church age right now, but thankfully that characteristics, be they good or bad, of these prior messages to the churches preceding, the five churches preceding the church here at Philadelphia, we know that many of them, all except one at Smyrna, they had to be rebuked. Smyrna was a suffering church, and it was commended, and the church at Philadelphia was commended as well. And Lord, we want to be that type of church. We want to be obedient. We realize that regardless of what the age is like, we don't have to conform. We don't have to comply with the age. You said sin shall not have dominion over you if you're not under the law, but you're under grace. And we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were with us on the last broadcast, we were looking at how Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself. First of all, that he's holy. Secondly, that he's true. And third, that he hath the key of David. On our last broadcast also, we said that this statement, the key of David, comes from Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. That was a reference to Eliakim, but it also has a prophetic significance in that the Lord Jesus Christ certainly has the key of David. Now, I would like to share with you some thoughts from Alfred Barnes' commentary regarding this portion of Scripture in Revelation chapter 3. And right now, I'm reading verbatim. He that hath the key of David, this expression is manifestly taken from Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. As used by Isaiah, the phrase is applied to Eliakim. And it is not to be inferred, because of the language here is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, that originally it had any such reference. The application of the same terms, says Professor Alexander on Isaiah 22:22, to Peter, Matthew 16:19, and to Christ himself in Revelation 3:7, does not prove that they here refer to either, or that Eliakim was a type of Christ, but merely that the same words admit of different applications. In other words, they were applied to Eliakim, they were applied to Peter, and they were applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. The language is that which properly denotes authority or control. As when one has the key of a house, he has unlimited access to it. And the meaning here is that as David is represented as the king of Israel, residing in a palace, so he who had the key to that palace had regal authority. You know that as well as I do. Now, I'm interrupting here for just a moment, but keys are more than just instruments to get into a building or house or to open a lock. Let's just put it that way. No, because they represent, if they're obtained honestly, they represent trust, and they represent to some degree authority, that whoever has that key has the authority to lock and to unlock that door. I'm going back to Barnes now. Mr. Barnes, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and so forth. He has free and unrestrained access to the house, the power of admitting anyone or excluding anyone. Applied here to the Savior as King in Zion, this means that in his kingdom, he has the absolute control in regard to the admission or exclusion of anyone. He can prescribe the terms. He can invite whom he chooses. He can exclude those whom he judges should not be admitted. A reference to this absolute control was in every way proper when he was addressing a church, and is in every way proper for us to reflect on when we think of the subject of our personal salvation. Now, that's a whole lot of truth. I read you in just a few sentences. But whoever has the key has the authority to open the door or close the door. He can open it to who he wants to open it to, and he can close it to whomsoever he wants to close it to. We understand that, do we not? Who does the Lord open this key to? Well, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. For it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, by the same token, our Lord has the opportunity to exclude anyone who will not come to him as he has invited them. For instance, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. We must be saved. Now, the very fact that the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ really disturbs some people. I'm serious about that. These ecumenists who say, well, you know, here's heaven up here, and there's a lot of different roads that are going to the same place. Dear friend, that's not so. There's only one way to get into God's heaven, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ, because he is the one who paid the debt for our salvation. Quote John 3:16 with me, would you please? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said concerning himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And dear friend, he has the right to open that door to those who will trust him as his Savior, and he has the right to close that door to those who will not. I'm going to go a step further. I believe he not only has the right, he has the responsibility. Because of his promise, through his grace, he opens the door of salvation to all who will believe on him, but he must close it to those who reject him as their Lord and Savior. So, dear friend, let me please encourage you. If you're resting on some type of religious idea that, well, you know, one religion is just as good as another, and these people who think that they have it all or know it all, now let me say this. If a person believes the Bible, the precious Word of God, and they accept Christ Jesus as their Savior, they know that he's the only way of salvation. They didn't determine that. I didn't determine that. God determined that. You know, I came to this conclusion a long time ago. If you're going to go to God's heaven, you're going to have to go God's way. Can I say that again? If you're going to God's heaven, you're going to have to go his way. You're going to have to come on his terms. That's all there is to it, dear friend. And yes, he absolutely does have the right to open the door to whom he chooses and close the door to those he chooses to close the door to. And by the way, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, let me take a break here for the close of this broadcast. We're down to the end of our broadcast week. And also let me say that many of the stations and that we have the privilege to air the gospel over will be having share-a-thons coming up this next week. Some will have their share-a-thons at a different time. Some do not have share-a-thons. But in order to keep our listening family together, we'll continue this particular series of messages when we all get together a week from now. Yes, we will be having our daily services this coming week, and if you're not breaking for some reason, please join us. And those of you who will be having share-a-thon, let me encourage you, support those good stations that are providing the precious Word of God for you. I want to say again, for those of you who cannot get into a fundamental Bible-believing church this coming Lord's Day, that's where I want you to be if you can. That's where God wants you to be. He makes that clear. If you cannot and you have access to the internet, please join us at www.calbapt.org. www.calbapt.org. But if you can, I plead with you. I encourage you. be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. Sunday school, morning and evening services, whatever services are available, be there. And please join us next broadcast if you can.